And welcome back to Padres Social Hour here on a Saturday, the day that Trevor Hoffman will be inducted into the Padres Hall of Fame. I'm Annie Heilbrin, joined by Bill Center and the great Corey Brock of MLB.com.
Wow. Yeah, wow.
You don't get that every day, Corey.
The great Corey Brock. Position.
I should have been coming out here more often.
We want you to come back.
No, you are the great. There's egg salad back there.
That's Nikki's. Don't touch.
Yeah, I know, Nikki.
It's a nice cushy thing down here. We've got a lot of guests already watching, and we've got some 51 hats that we see in jerseys, so it's starting to get pretty exciting around here. And if you're around, come by. We're in the Western Metal Supply Building here at Petco Park. Corey wrote this amazing article on the people who have caught Trevor Hoffman. And, Corey, before we get into it, how did this article come about? Let's deconstruct it a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for the kind words, by the way. That's very nice. I've been thinking about it for about 3 months, really. And, you know, I saw this date on the calendar. I know the team had been talking about it. And I'm just kind of thinking out of the box a little bit of how to approach it and how to best honor Trevor, and just wanted to do something a little different. I think the topic of the change-up and the position yes. change when Trevor moved from shortstop to a pitcher in the minor leagues – those topics have been beaten into the ground, but they've been beaten into the ground.
Well,
and, you know, but they're great stories, though. You know, they really are great stories. But I wanted to do something a little different. I thought, well, who knows Trevor best than really, you know, his teammates,
yes.
and specifically the guys who caught him. And I think one of the most unique aspects of baseball is that pitcher-catcher relationship, so vital, so important to the ultimate success of a team. You talk about two guys that really have to be dialed in with each other, have to really know each other, their skill sets, their strengths, their weaknesses, the opponents. And I thought, you know, I'm gonna get some catchers on the phone, maybe some obvious ones, maybe some not so obvious ones, and had a lot of fun talking to guys. I didn't get to use all of them in my story for space considerations, but got some pretty good nuggets along the way.
41 catchers.
Right. Did you figure out who caught the fewest number of pitches from Trevor?
Well, you know what? There were a few guys, Bill, that caught him just one time.
Right.
Yeah, you know, Colt Morton.
we remember Colt.
Yeah, Colt Morton, who played with the Padres, either in 07 or 08. And I remember he came up kind of as an emergency and real nice guy. And he was up for just a little while. And I remember he got his first major league hit in Atlanta. Why am I talking about Colt Morton here? I thought we were talking about Trevor. But he got a base hit, and I was so glad the guy got a base hit, because I was like, I'm not sure he's going to get another chance, and he never did. Yeah, Pete LaForest, who was a French-Canadian who taught himself English. You know, just interesting characters. And, you know, some guys caught him once. Brad Ausmus caught him 111 times. Some guys with some extensive history. But, you know, the kind of common theme with all of them, they just really enjoyed working with Trevor.
I love how Colt didn't make it into the story, but he made it into Padres Social Hour.
He got his
due,
Colt,
just now.
The DVD is on the way.
Kevin Higgins, one of the guys that you talked to, and he didn't have a ton of time there with Trevor.
No.
But he was the first catcher when Trevor came here in the fire sale.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so interesting because you didn't know who Trevor was going to be then. He was just some kid trying to get out of the game, you know, and he had a horrible outing. And it was so interesting what you said about him.
Well, yeah, so Trevor's traded here in 93 from the Marlins.
Mm-hmm. Safe to say he was hated.
Well, yeah, right. And through no
booed.
No fault of his own.
And
it's like you've traded Gary Sheffield for a former minor league infielder who's
right.
made all of 12 appearances in the big leagues. You're shedding this payroll. This is the first of the fire sale moves, so there were more to come. And so this is the day after the trade went down. Trevor shows up, and he gets in his first game. This is at the old stadium in Mission Valley, Qualcomm. It's a Friday night game against the Reds. And he comes in the game in the eighth inning, and the Padres are losing. It's not a tight game, but you know, they're losing.
When he came in that game, though, when they announced his name, I mean, there were just a crescendo of boos.
Right, and I saw the announced, you can go back through Baseball Reference and you could find the attendance. And it was a Friday night, kind of a paltry crowd of 17,000
right.
there. And I'm pretty sure probably most of them stuck around to let the new guy have it. So
yes.
he comes in the game and you kind of work through his pitching line. And, it's like walk, hit, double, hit. He finally gets his first out by striking out the pitcher that day, Tim Belcher, the Reds. And so Kevin Higgins goes out there. Kevin's only year with the Padres was 93, and he's trying to calm him down, and kind of a rough beginning for Trevor, but from that, a whole lot more successful outings came out of that.
That's what I just love, though. You never know how it's going to turn out.
Right. Interesting, though, to hear Kevin Higgins, who was probably just about the same age that Trevor was, going out to calm him down.
Yeah, exactly. That. Yeah, he's the voice of reason. He's probably the same age and has about the same
experience
level. But, you know, it was funny, Annie, that one of the gems that Kevin shared with me that didn't make it in the story was he was always impressed with how upbeat Trevor was, even at a young age. And maybe it was a Southern California thing. He thought that nothing really bothered him. Now, sure, he'd get upset if he blew a save. Don't mistake that. But, you know, that Kevin, that Trevor was really laid back. And he said, here's something else, Corey. He said, Trevor was our smoothie maker in the clubhouse. He'd walk around wearing an apron. I thought, a smoothie maker in 1993.
I thought he was well
ahead of his time. Maybe he missed his calling.
I love it. Well, he still has time.
Sure. You could go back to the smoothie maker anytime.
They've got aprons in there as well.
Sure.
You know, they'll grab them. Another guy, Jonathan Lucroy from the Brewers, who caught number 600.
Right.
I thought what was great about what you did, and I'm sure Bill agrees with me, is you talked about the man. You talked about who he was off the field as well, and he just had a great quote, Jonathan did. I always reference Trevor Hoffman when I talk about the kind of guy I want to be, and I just thought that said so much about Trevor.
Yeah, and it's you know, Lucroy was a rookie with the Brewers there in Trevor's last year, and I think one of the anecdotes that came out of that was Lucroy caught Trevor's 600 save with the Brewers there his final year, and one of the things he said to Trevor was, you know, hey, thank you so much for letting me catch you, and Trevor looked him right in the eye and said, no, thank you for catching me. You know, and I thought,
that's amazing.
And I think that really resonated with him that, you know, wow, and this, you know, here I am, a rookie, you know, this guy that, you know, he knows me a little bit, but, you know, he really made me feel honored that you know, I was a part of this. And I think you'll get that same similar experience from a lot of guys that played with him.
Well, that was pretty much the Hoffman trademark,
yes.
Is that all the cast around him always changed, but he remained the staple moving forward always.
Yeah.
And really a leader, too, in the clubhouse and being a relief pitcher and being a leader, being a closer, you know, is kind of – you don't see that all too often.
Well,
so.
And it's and I know this – Bill, we've talked about this, and we saw it more often than not, and maybe a lot of people weren't really privy to it because they're not in that clubhouse. But, you know, after every blown save that Trevor had – and, you know, make no mistake, he had a few of them, just like any good closers do.
And they ate at him. But he was he would be right there to talk to you after a blown save. After a save, many times you couldn't find him because he'd be out either lifting weights or he'd be playing catch back on the field with his kids. But if he blew one, he would be there at his locker waiting for you
to
answer.
And to that point, was it the 2007 wild card game that I believe against the Rockies that was a blown save and – Wright stood by his locker afterwards and answered every single question and took accountability for it and everything.
Yeah, and that was and you know what's so interesting about that, and Bill's right, you know, good luck finding Trevor after a game he actually saved.
Right.
You know, and this was by design. I mean, he would much prefer that, you know, he'd let, you know, the other teammates get some time to talk to the press. But here's something else that I noticed from that, the residual effect of Trevor Hoffman, the teammate. Guys who got a chance to play with him, so a few guys would do similar things. I noticed that a lot from I'll use Chase Headley as an example. Now he's moved on to the Yankees, but Chase Headley, a guy always sat in front of his locker until we were done doing our job post game,
right.
In good times and bad, you know, willing to sit there and answer questions. He saw Trevor do it. Nick Hundley, another guy that saw Trevor do it. And, you know, Trevor got that from somebody else. And, you know, someone else will notice that from watching Chase and Nick. And that sort of stuff gets passed on. Because I tell you what means the most to these guys isn't the money. And it isn't the statistics. And it isn't the Hall of Fame. That's all nice. But it's the respect they get from their teammates.
Absolutely.
That means so much more and resonates so much more with them than anything else.
Corey, thank you so much for joining us. And I don't know if you know, but you're on the Cholula hot seat. Is it hot where you're at?
It's awfully hot. You know, sometimes I call in. Seth calls me on my phone, and I'm on the hot line. Now I'm on the hot seat.
Seat, right?
You're on the Cholula hot seat.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to get him straight.
Right.
Well, I got my red shirt on.
Wherever you are, right.
Yeah, it's boiling.
We appreciate you joining us. And if you haven't read the article, go to Padres.com. Follow Corey at Follow the Padres. And for Cholula, hey, Cholula hot sauce, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the green pepper sauce flavor today. So get yourself some Cholula hot sauce. Corey, thanks so much. And we'll be right back here on Padres Social Hour.